Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. We do appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined across the way by Doug Anderson. He's the manager at the Farm Bureau, both here in Wayne County and in White County, and oddly enough, lives in Edwards County.
That's just, I do. Three counties.
You are like nationwide, man.
Yeah, right. Not exactly, but it feels like it sometimes.
So. I bet it does, because Doug is joining us today. He gets in here about once or twice a year, as we have all kinds of things to talk about. This is the busy time of year for you, isn't it?
Very busy.
Because is that because the farmers aren't in the field yet? Basically, this is when you're springing into action, aren't you?
Exactly right. You know, we get past the holidays in November and December, and then we try to hit it real hard before farmers get busy in the field.
Farmers right now are doing what? Just book work for the most part?
And,
cleaning up planters and stuff?
Cleaning up planters, you know, checking over machinery, getting stuff prepped and ready to go. So when the weather turns just right, they're ready to get out in the field.
You've got the Wayne County meeting coming up, right?
Yeah, the annual meeting's coming up. It's our 95th meeting.
When is that?
That is scheduled for, I believe, March the 8th. Let me check my
here in about here. 3 or 4 weeks.
March the 9th, sorry.
I'm kind of surprised you split your meetings out that far apart. You already had the White County in January. Is that just a tradition they've always had it that early or something?
I think Wayne County's meeting used to be back in January as well.
Uh-huh.
Years and years ago, and when they started sharing a manager between the two counties, he wised up at the time and said, what, having two big meetings right on top of each other is too much work and too much to keep track of. So they put them apart.
How many members do you have in each county?
Wayne County right now, around 2,200 members total, and White County is around 1,700 members.
Do you get you got about what, 80% the number of members in White County is in Wayne County. Do you get different? Does it correspond to how many people go to the dinners? Because you probably only get, what, a couple hundred, 150 to the dinners?
For the White County dinner, I think we had around 85 people attend. And that was members and special guests. You know, we invite legislators and other people in the industry that we work with throughout the year just as guests to recognize them and stuff as part of the meeting. Wayne County will run around 200 to 250. So
is it better food?
More.
I mean,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. You know. No, the food's great in both places. You know, we know how to serve good food at our meetings, that's for sure. But it's just time of day might be part of it. White County has their meeting in the daytime.
Well, it's a lunch meeting.
On a weekday,
it's
a lunch meeting. Wayne County's traditionally does it in the evening. It used to be Friday nights for years.
Yeah.
And last couple of years, we've tried it on different nights of the week to see how that impacts attendance and stuff.
How has it worked for you? I mean, if you've been changing, what's your feedback on it?
Well, we haven't seen a huge bump in numbers. We haven't seen a decline either. So what I've found, I think one year we scheduled our appreciation dinner in the summer over the top of Meet the Mules night.
Oh, really?
And, you know, that appreciation dinner in the summertime, we would serve 500 to 600 pork chops. Yeah, we have to-go plates and stuff, too.
But
that year we were on top of Meet the Mules, you know, it dropped by 30-40%.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just hardly anybody showed, or it seemed like hardly anybody showed up that year. So, you know, we schedule our big meetings like this. We try to make sure we're not on top of any other big community events. So.
Yeah, you're probably all right the first weekend of March.
I would think so.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting into some basketball postseason. Yeah. I think most of it's probably done for our local teams. But
Hopefully it's not. But
so that would be our big big conflict if we had some postseason.
Oh, actually, I'm sitting here trying to think. The only you're looking at March. What date was it?
March the 9th. Yeah.
Okay, March the 9th, a Thursday. Well, that's gonna be clean on anything.
Because
they don't play basketball games on Thursday.
So
night.
I think we're good. Then.
You ought to be good. You ought to be good. what's going on at that annual meeting? What are you gonna have there? You're gonna have a big crowd. I mean, what's the speaker?
Hope so. No speaker. We've actually, the board's talked about this, and the last 4 or 5 years, they've decided not to have a keynote speaker.
Is that right?
Yeah, they, you know.
Just rather get together, eat, and visit, huh?
That's exactly what they thought. And they thought the keynote speaker was dragging the meeting on too long, and, you know, instead of being done by 8 o'clock, we weren't being done until closer to 9 o'clock. And, you know, we've got some older people that come out to our annual meeting,
sure,
too. And
sure.
9 o'clock's pretty late for some of them.
Oh, yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
So
I'm getting there.
You're getting there. I was not talking about you.
I appreciate that, but I got to tell you, I'm getting there.
So no, we don't have a keynote speaker. You know, we have a welcome. We have a great meal. We always use local caterers to cater our meal for us. We try to keep that local. And, you know, we have our business meeting, and we have people come up and just give updates and reports on local programs, local committees. The state Illinois Farm Bureau have our elections, and do some door prizes and go home.
You've got a ton of stuff coming up. I jumped to the big annual meeting just because that's the first thing I know about. But before that, you've got a big old bus trip. When's the machinery show?
Well, it's this weekend.
It is this weekend.
It's this weekend.
So where is that, in Louisville?
Louisville, Kentucky. Yes, ma'am.
How big's the ma'am?
Man.
what's the what now? This is the is this in the same place as always? Are they going to be bigger and bigger and better than ever, or what do you got going on?
Well, as far as the machinery show goes, I mean, it's one of the largest in the nation. First of all,
I love this trip, by the way, because you guys thought this is the one where you feed them too, don't you?
Like, yeah. Well, we take care of our people when we have programs tonight. So, but you know, the National Farm Machinery Show is one of the biggest in the nation. It's down there at the Exposition Center there in Louisville, Kentucky. They have a lot of big events and stuff.
Is that near the Yum Center? Where they play basketball?
Yeah. Okay. Of course, was it Louisville Cardinals?
Where the Cardinals play.
Yep. And, of course, they have the big truck and tractor pulls, you know, over the weekend. We our trip doesn't go down there for that specifically. You know, we go down there for the farm machinery part of it, not the tractor pulling part of it. But
wait a minute. I didn't realize. This weekend they've also got the truck and tractor pulls?
Oh, yeah, national championship.
Folks can go, and they're probably not on your bus because you're going to be taking them back. But
right.
But if they wanted to stay,
yes,
or drive over something, this is the big weekend.
Thursday,
for that
Friday,
kind of
Saturday
thing.
Nights. Yeah, they have this. I mean, we're talking the best in the nation tractor pulling here at this event.
What date is this?
It's this Thursday.
You're going Thursday.
This Thursday. Yeah. So what, 16th? I think it is. But yeah, we go down there to, you know, all of the agricultural companies, all the big ones, of course, all the equipment manufacturers from around the world, even actually, you know,
really?
they draw in people, you know, companies you've never even heard of that have, you know, various types of agricultural equipment and sprayers and tractors and planters and tillage equipment. I mean, it's
not just Caterpillar and IH or anything right now, is it?
No, there's dozens and dozens of companies from all over
John
the world.
John Deere,
yes.
There's all Absolutely. Kinds of different colors of green.
Yeah, different shades of green. Right? Not just John Deere green. That's right.
How big is the building that you'll
massive.
See these things?
You know, I don't know how many tens of thousands of square feet it is. I mean, it's all under roof, of course, but there's, I believe, three or four main sections to this building. Let's put it this way. By the time we get down, we leave here about 6:15 in the morning from Fairfield, and we do stop for breakfast on the way.
You're going to stop pick up folks from White County or something as well?
No, this is Wayne County only.
Oh, okay.
On this bus. So we don't quite fill a bus, but we get pretty close just for Wayne County.
Do you still have openings, by the way?
We do have a few openings.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're with less than 10 seats left.
Right. So somebody's close. Interested.
Yeah, sure.
All
Call
right.
the office. Yep.
So you're leaving here at 6.
Yep, 6:15. And, you know, by the time we get down there, it's about 10:30, 11 o'clock Eastern time.
Right.
And, you know, we let our guys and gals walk around till about 5 o'clock Eastern time. Doesn't sound like very much time. You know, only about 6 hours. But I tell you, 6 hours of solid walking on concrete throughout that building, everybody's just dragging when they get back on the bus. So, I mean, that's about the right amount of time for the trip. But you can barely see everything in that amount of time.
And you have
to pretty much be walking solid to get through it all. So.
And then not stopping to chit-chat with particular reps.
Yep.
Have you considered adding like a little stipend or a little charge to the thing and throwing in a Segway rental?
You know, I'm not sure they'd allow those down there.
Really?
It's so crowded down there. People walking. I mean, you can walk, don't get me wrong, but I think you'd be running into people if you had any type of cart, scooter.
Well, you know, otherwise. That's the thing. The organizers of the thing probably, you know, they map out those floors.
Sure.
They map those floors out as tight as they can because
yes, they do.
Because the people who are buying spaces, they're buying that per foot.
It's expensive.
That is not cheap. It's going to cost them a lot of money. I guess you can see why you'd want to keep it tight because you'd be able to sell more space for exhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping it that tight, who likes big crowds like that?
Apparently, farmers do because they all go.
Well, now that's true too.
Yeah,
they get the chance to. And you know, the thing is, right now they're looking. Probably it's a little late, maybe to even make purchases for this year. They're looking forward maybe to when you go to this show, are you looking to future purchases in late 17, early 18? What are you thinking here when you go?
It probably depends what you're looking at. So, you know, we have a lot of farmers that go down. You know, they might be interested in a new piece of tillage equipment or a tractor or a way wagon or something for harvest. And they'll go down there and, you know, they may not necessarily make the purchase at this event,
right,
but they're down there.
They're shopping.
They're looking at products. They're getting manuals. They're getting books. Or they're talking to dealers and bringing the information back so they can make a solid decision.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's always a lot of fun to go to those shows. And that's when you bring the big bag back and you go through it. It's, oh, yeah, I remember this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember. This is the guy who gave me the coolie.
You know, farmers love freebies. So, I mean, they've got, you know, hats and yardsticks and, you know, all kinds of stuff that they give away. And
rain gauges.
Exactly.
You know there are going to be a ton of rain gauges.
Oh, yeah. They come back with bags stuffed full of stuff.
That's great. I'm talking to Doug Anderson. He's the manager here at the Wayne County Farm Bureau as well as the White County Farm Bureau. We're going to talk about, they've got so much stuff going on. We're going to talk about all that when we return. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390. And WFIW-FM here in Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these.
I've tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Before my time made your heart sad and blue, and so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words I said that make the teardrops start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Playing a little Happy Valentine's music right there. That's cold, cold heart. Sorry about
that. Such a sense of humor.
Yeah. My guest across the way, Doug Anderson. He's the manager of the Wayne County and White County Farm Bureau. And we've been talking about this bus trip to the Farm Machinery Show. You're telling me that's free for the most? Well, no.
Not quite free.
Not quite free.
No,
close to free.
We charge members $20 to go. But
for the bus.
For the bus. But, you know, we feed them dinner on the way home, too, at the Login and Hobstadt. So it's a really great deal for if you're a Farm Bureau member. Non-members, they can go, too, but we charge them $40 for
non-members. And that annual meeting, though, is free.
Annual meeting's free. We don't charge for it. You just need to call the office and RSVP your attendance.
Probably on both. So make a phone call to the office if you want to go on this bus trip. There's still a few spots available.
Less than 10, I believe. So, but yeah.
Sounds
like call today.
What's the phone number?
842-3342.
Tell me a little bit about this farm succession event. There's, with the estate tax in flux right now.
Mm-hmm.
Farm succession is tremendously important all the time, but even more so now than ever, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's probably one of the most difficult issues any farmer has to deal with, is how do you transfer your farm assets to the next generation?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. You've built this. This is your family farm. Most of what you deal with here is family farm. We don't have much factory farming in or corporate farming in Wayne County or White County, and it's mainly family farming. And I can imagine that the difficulties in figuring out how to do that and not losing a chunk to the government.
Exactly right. And, you know, there's huge tax implications if you do it wrong, first of all. And there's been many, many farms over the years that have had to sell off land and just to generate enough cash to pay for taxes because they didn't plan out properly or plan far enough in advance to take full advantage of the tax system
the code
that we have. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is an issue. This is something that we haven't done, or Wayne County Farm Bureau hasn't done, I believe, since I've been here. So, and that's,
and you've been here plenty of years.
Yeah, 15 plus, I guess, total. So, you know, and we have a lot of farmers in the county right now that are nearing that point where they want to start looking to transfer farm assets to their sons or daughters and can, you know, finding ways to continue the farm. And some of those farms or daughters or sons or daughters are actually involved in the farm, but some aren't too. So you have to find a way, you know, how do you split up a farm amongst, for instance, three children when only one of those children is actively involved in the farm and the other two live away from the farm?
Yeah.
You know, what's a fair way to do that?
Yeah, so. And I imagine determining fairness at this point, say if you have one particular family like that, determining fairness this way would tend to stop a lot of problems down the road.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It's a little different when...
Not just taxing problems. A lot of
family arguments. Yeah, it's a little different when mom and dad have a plan in place and they say, okay, this is what we want, versus no plan in place. Mom and dad are old or in the nursing home or pass away, and then you have, you know, three different families of children that are trying to decide how they continue the farm and also be fair to everybody else.
So you're putting together an event.
So we have an event scheduled Thursday, March 23rd. We're holding it at the First Christian Church here in Fairfield at 6 o'clock. And we've invited Kurt Ferguson. He's an attorney up in Salem, and he runs the Estate Planning Center. And many farmers are familiar with Kurt. He does a lot of columns in farm magazines around the state of Illinois.
So he's kind of specializes in the farming industry, doesn't he?
Very much so. Very much so. This is his area of expertise, and that's why we felt like he would be a great speaker to bring to Fairfield to help our farming families, you know, help them make some decisions, you know, and not necessarily saying that these families have to hire Kurt as their attorney. I mean, they can still work with a local attorney.
Sure.
But, you know, with Kurt's area of expertise being in estate planning for farms, we felt like he could give some great guidance to these farming families.
Well, that's the thing, Doug. A lot of people, I mean, who in their right mind, if you've been on the farm for 40 or 50 years running your own farm, now granted, you're going to pay attention to the law to an extent, but you're not an expert on it.
No, of course
not. And there's no way you could be.
No. And there's so many different ways that farms are structured nowadays. I mean, you know, some are sole proprietorships, some are set up in an LLC, some are set up as corporations with shareholders, you know, for different family members. And each individual farm is unique, and each individual family is unique. And so,
well, and you say that also is a reminder that this isn't 1980 anymore.
Right.
Your average family farm isn't 300 or 400 or 500 acres to speak of now.
No.
It's what, 1,000, 1,200, 1,400 acres?
Well, it's probably not quite that much for Wayne County. I mean, there's a lot of farmers that they may farm that number of acres, but they don't own that number of acres.
Yeah.
But still, you know, farmland's valued anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 an acre, roughly,
correct,
in the county. And it doesn't take very many acres before you start getting up into some serious dollars. Especially when you start talking about estate taxes and death taxes and gift taxes and capital gains taxes. And, you know, there's pretty much a tax for everything nowadays. So
Mr. Ferguson, being the attorney, is he a CPA as well? Or does he leave? He presumably leaves the taxing side to the professionals there.
Yeah, I mean, he'll talk about what farmers can do under the law. And he'll talk about tax policy or tax law part, you know, but he's not going to sit down with you with a ledger necessarily and run the numbers, but he's going to give you guidance on what you can do under the law for your particular farm and the best way to transfer those farm assets either while you're still living and come up with a plan now and transfer the farm now while the older person is still alive, or to come up with a plan where it transfers upon death. You know, there's two different routes you can take there. And, again, he's going to be there. He's going to talk for a while, but he's also going to answer individual questions too. So.
And this is Thursday, March 23rd.
This is Thursday, March 23rd at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Start First Christian Church. This is a ticketed event, so we are selling tickets. They're actually free for member, Farm Bureau members in Wayne County, get them for free. If you live in Wayne County but you're not a Farm Bureau member, you can still attend, but we're going to charge you $12.50 a ticket. Limit two.
Sure.
We're going to keep the crowd to a minimal size because we want everybody to have an opportunity to ask their questions and get them answered.
What kind of crowd are you trying to attract? How many people you think you're going to get?
As far as how many we're going to get, I guess I couldn't say just yet.
I mean, it's been 15 years since you've done it.
Yeah,
we're
capping it at 100. We're not going to allow any more than 100, just to keep that size small so people can ask questions and everybody can get their questions answered.
Have you, over the years, I guess, drew you to redoing this? I don't remember there having been a meeting like this even back when I was in banking 20 years ago.
Well, 20 years ago, the laws were different. Our tax policy in this country was a lot different.
And sure.
Everything just seems to be a lot more complicated now.
Yeah.
Farmland was
worth a lot more now.
A lot more than what it was back in the 80s, so there's a lot more dollars at stake. Quite frankly, we have several farming families in the county that approach us, asking us to do this type of a program. And usually, when it gets to that point, there's a need there because there's a lot of people that won't come ask.
A lot of people aren't going to ask anyway. They're going to be shy about it.
So we recognize there's a need for something like this. It's been a long time since we've done it, and we'll try it and see how it goes.
What kind of time frame is it? How long is the meeting?
So we'll eat at 6. We'll eat.
Oh, it's got dinner?
Oh yeah, you can. It's a Farm Bureau event.
I didn't know. Yeah, a Farm Bureau event. It does have to have food.
Absolutely. So we'll have dinner. We'll probably start around 6:30, 6:45. This program is co-sponsored by Country Financial, so it's a joint program with Farm Bureau and Country. Country's going to have a speaker there. It's going to talk for 15 or 20 minutes about some estate planning, and then Kurt will be on. I think we got him booked for 2 hours. So
have you?
He'll be there to talk and answer questions for
And that's the thing. I've sat in those kind of meetings before, and you can, when you're learning things that you don't know, that 2 hours just goes by like that.
Because
you're listening to other folks ask questions that do relate to you most of the time.
Absolutely, and when it's a topic that you're really truly interested in, and the information you want, it's going
to
fly by.
And there's a lot of people who probably don't try not to think about farm succession.
A lot of people don't like to. It's a hard subject to talk about with your family members.
Yeah.
It's just so big. It's just hard to be able to sit down and take such a big idea and such a big undertaking and break it down into small decisions and put a plan on paper. I mean, and that's why we recommend that most farmers get professional help to come up with a plan. So, and that's what Kurt's going to be here to do.
That's the Farm Succession Planning Event. It's on March 23rd. Again, you can call the Farm Bureau for more information about that. Tell me about On the Road.
On the Road. So this is a program that Kevin Run puts on. He's the senior director of local government for Illinois Farm Bureau, and he is Farm Bureau's transportation expert here in the state of Illinois. And he we invite him every year to Wayne County, and he comes and puts on a program that he calls On the Road. And, a lot of farmers now...
This doesn't have food with it, does it?
Actually, it does.
It does?
Yeah, we're serving lunch.
Ladies and gentlemen.
this is a lunchtime program. So March 6th at 12:30 p.m. at Bob Boyle's Hall, and we will be serving lunch.
Sure.
Good lunch. So, come out and eat lunch with us. But, most farms nowadays have some kind of truck, either a semi-truck or a straight truck on their farm that they use to haul and deliver grain around. Even if you're a smaller farmer.
Just for efficiency. You have
absolutely.
To. You have to have it because it just makes it more efficient to haul grain.
The days with tractors and a small wagon are over.
Yeah.
The hauling grain. So
you can't afford to sit with your tractor in line at an elevator for 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly right. And you can't keep up with the combine.
That's right.
Unfortunately, farmers get caught up in these national laws and rules that really apply to, for hire national carriers. So
right.
You think about all the big semi-trucks driving on the interstate.
Right.
They've got these Federal Motor Carrier Safety regulations set up for those carriers. But, farmers, if they own one semi, they get caught up in a lot of those same regulations. So Kevin Run comes down and he tries to, cut through all the laws and the policy language and the rules that farmers have to adhere to. And there are several exemptions that are in place for farmers, for smaller farmers, covered farm vehicle exemption and farm vehicle driver exemption. And so Kevin will cover those and how it applies to each individual farm, each individual truck, whether it's a farm employee or a family member or the farmer, CDLs and USDOT numbers,
yeah.
And, you know, the whole lot.
It gets tricky when you start getting into CDLs, and then if you rent your truck out to maybe a neighbor. To
yeah.
use or something like that.
Then, whole different. Well,
then you're beginning yeah. to deal with things that you didn't realize you were dealing with.
You lose a lot of exemptions if you use your truck for non-farming purposes.
That's exactly right. And when is this show again?
So this is Monday, March the 6th, 12:30 p.m., and we'll have it out here at the college at Bob Boyles Hall. We are serving lunch, so we do need a meal count. So call the office, 842-3342, and let us know that you'll be there.
Is this a show? He comes around every year, then.
He does. Last several years, for sure, we've had him every year.
Yep. Pretty good show, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. We always have a good response, and everybody who attends has lots of questions for Kevin. And I think Kevin's is now the respected voice, if you will, for transportation issues for farmers in the state of Illinois.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You got to be prepared because, I mean, we saw here in the last few months ago there was I think it was a farmer that was overweight.
It happens.
It happens. It does happen from time to time.
Sometimes on purpose, but sometimes not on purpose.
Farmers I know a lot of times on purpose. They just don't try not to get caught.
Yeah.
But I saw one that was overweight, and it cost him a ton.
Thousands of dollars.
Thousands.
In fines.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's something to pay attention to.
Big mistake.
Big error.
Expensive mistake.
And we're trying to help folks figure out how to avoid that kind of problem. I'm talking here with Doug Anderson. He's the Farm Bureau Manager for both Wayne County and White County, and we're going to talk a little bit more about plenty of other things they have going on at the Farm Bureau. When we return, you are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM and FM Fairfield, Illinois, WFIW. We'll be back after these.
Tying a noose in the back of my mind. If you thought that you were making your way to where the puzzles and pagans lay, I put it together. It's a strange invitation. Sweep up my lazy bones, and we will rise in the cool of the evening. I remember the way that you smiled when the gravity shackles were wild. But something is vacant when I think it's all beginning.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way, Doug Anderson. He's the manager at the local Farm Bureau here in Fairfield, Wayne County Farm Bureau, as well as the White County Farm Bureau down in Carmi. We've been talking about the Farm Succession event as well as the On the Road event. You've got a lot of ongoing things that you've done over the past several years that folks just don't occasionally realize what's going on. I mean, there are probably juniors and seniors in high school right now that can really be helped out. They may not know about your scholarships.
Yeah, you know, that's something we've been doing now, well, actually before the foundation was even established. The Wayne County Farm Bureau Foundation, we started it in 2004, and we were giving out scholarships even before then.
Right.
But every year we have 6 scholarships from the foundation and at least 1 from the Young Leader Committee.
Oh, is that right?
That we give out. They're always $500 a piece. So we have $3,500 worth of scholarships that are available for this year alone.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Give me those numbers again.
We have 6 $500 scholarships through our foundation and 1 from the Young Leader Committee. Like I said, all $500, so $3,500 worth of scholarships
okay.
will be given out.
Who's eligible?
Anybody that's going into college this fall. It doesn't have to be a graduating senior of high school. It can be somebody who's already in college as well. You have to be majoring in an ag-related field of study. And when I say that, our definition of ag-related is very broad. So, you know, we've had scholarship recipients who were studying, diesel technology. We've had some that were going into journalism. We've had some that were going to be involved in the medical field, but mm-hmm. they said that they would be focusing on rural areas or coming back to Fairfield. We have some that are engineers, but they want to go in and design farm machinery, you know. So we're very broad on our definition of who's eligible.
Where do folks get the applications for those? Is that generally at the local guidance counselors?
We have sent them to the guidance counselor's office at the high schools, as well as the FFA advisors have mm-hmm. them, the ag teachers. It's also available to download off our website, waynecfb.com. And we have them in the office as well.
And when you have, when you say you have 6 or 7, it's not 2 per school, right? Or how does that work? Or is it
not necessarily, because we don't always get equal number of applications from each school.
Yeah.
So it's strictly based on the application. Doesn't matter which school you're at. You do have to reside in Wayne County. So we've actually even had a recipient that went to Edwards County High School, but they lived in Wayne County.
Oh, is that right?
So yeah, you have to live in Wayne County.
You able to do the same thing in White County? Does White County have the active foundation like Wayne County does?
They do have a foundation. It's not quite as old. They started theirs, I believe, 4 years ago. But they give out 1 scholarship right now mm-hmm. each year, $500, and same exact
sure.
guidelines.
So, well, see, that's the thing. I mean, as a foundation gets rolling, you can tell the difference between a 12, 13-year-old foundation and a 4-year-old foundation.
Absolutely.
Because you have a 13-year-old has more money to give out.
Hopefully,
because I mean, you build money hopefully
right.
over the course of time. How many apps do you get for that? Will you get a whole bunch of kids applying?
It depends on the year. So
really?
some years we.
I'm surprised by that. I think it'd be pretty steady.
We get I think the most we've ever had I think is 12
uh-huh.
applications for 6 scholarships. And we've had actually less than 6. We've had scholarship money that's been left on the table before too. So,
really?
Yeah.
Boy, Doug, that's just amazing to me. What's the deadline on that?
March the 1st.
So somebody needs to get active probably 2 weeks right now.
In a couple weeks, yeah. Very easy application. We don't ask a whole lot. You don't have to write huge, long essays. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and about your academics and your school involvement, your activities, and your future plans as a career. Very little financial information is asked. So it's a pretty simple application.
Any math involved?
Slight amount of math. I believe we ask.
You don't have story problems on there.
No story problems. But if I remember correctly, we ask, you know, what percentage of your college education is coming from scholarships?
Yeah.
What percentage from student
yeah.
loans? What percentage from savings?
Yeah.
And, you know, that. So there's a little bit about math, I guess.
Tell me, now that kind of goes hand in hand with your 4-H project grants, isn't it? In that's
mm-hmm.
where the 4-H kids become aware of Farm Bureau and maybe how they can slide into that level, right?
A little bit. I mean, we want to support our local 4-H program as much as we can. And we found a success in providing 4-H project grants to Wayne County 4-Hers, especially younger 4-Hers that are just starting in 4-H
uh-huh.
or wanting to get involved in a new project, but there might be a cost barrier to get involved in certain things. So we've got a grant program for them that they can apply. Again, very simple application. I think it's just about one or two pages is all.
And, how long have you had the 4-H grant going?
I think this is year 4.
I was going to say, I'm trying to remember because we've talked about this over the years, and this is a great deal for somebody who's wanting to put their project together. You guys help Like somebody has a rocket project. Yeah. That's going to cost money to put together.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, there's no restrictions on the type of project either. So, I mean, we've paid out project grants the last few years for cake decorating, for gardening, for photography, obviously for some livestock projects. I mean, we support all 4-H projects. It doesn't have to be ag-related.
How's the photography? What was the grant money on that? Helping somebody pay for a camera?
Exactly right.
Is that
right? They bought a new camera with a... Obviously, the camera cost more than the grant they received from us, but sure. we were able to help them purchase
a camera. And so. When we're talking the 4-H grant for projects, the limit there is like $100, $150.
$150, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Still, that's money that a 10-year-old kid's not going to have.
Well, probably not. And you know, and there might be in certain family situations, the family may not have that money to be able to put towards a 4-H project. But we still feel like if we can help them get over that cost barrier, the project is going to help this child grow. It's going to help them learn about something that they most likely would not learn in school, and get them more involved in 4-H.
So. Of the 100 to 150 kids that have projects at the 4-H projects at the fair, how many do you think have involved grants? You usually do this probably, 10, 15 kids or something, I'm trying to think?
Yeah, I don't have the exact number for last year, but I'm thinking it was somewhere around 13 or 15 kids received a grant last year. We paid out $1,600 last year in 4-H project grants, and they varied from – not everybody gets $150.
Sure.
It depends on what you apply for,
of course. Yeah.
And most kids don't get the full amount. It depends how many applications we get. But, we're not going to leave money on the table. We're going to award all the money we have as long as we have applications.
The 4-H grant – kind of goes, we were talking about it, goes hand in hand with the collegiate grant and informs kids about the collegiate grant, the collegiate scholarship. You've also got a community impact grant as well, Doug. Tell me a little bit about the Farm Bureau is involved with.
Right. So this is the fourth year for our community impact program. And again, our goal on this is, there's a lot of community projects that just don't come to fruition because of money,
sure.
because of dollars. So, and we're limited on staff time for us. I'm obviously covering two counties, and there's only so much that I can get involved with just because of lack of time.
On a personal basis.
Exactly. Yeah. So, we felt like this would be a way that we can help other groups in Wayne County develop various community-based projects that help, loads of different people. And we help them either through, obviously, financial support through the grant, but also through, promotion as well of their program or activity and recognition as well. So we budget $5,000 a year in community impact grants. Those applications are due March 1st as well. Applications available on the website. And, again, it's not necessarily an agricultural-type program.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some ag, some non-ag. We've last donated the Midwest Food Bank with some funds. This last year we did a kids gardening club with Right Now Ministries.
Tell me about that.
Pat Scarborough, I believe, with Right Now Ministries, applied for a grant, and they
did they use that at the Kingdom Kids, I guess?
That was one of the groups. I think there was two groups. There was maybe a younger group, and then there was the older group, I think is the Kingdom
Kids.
Builders, maybe?
Well, it might be. Kingdom Kids is the name of the group at the Baptist Church there.
Right. So, that's the two groups was through the church, obviously, that did this. But they planted two box gardens north of Fairfield on the road that goes towards Jeff. I forget whose home it is, but it's when you turn on that road, it's that first house on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two beautiful gardens out there. And Pat was taking the kids out there. Two different times each week
to cultivate.
They planted everything. They built it. They planted it. They tended to it all year long, and it was just really a great project to get these kids outside and get
them
involved.
Did they grow anything?
They grew a lot. Yeah,
no kidding.
They have pictures, beautiful pictures of what they grew from last year.
How about teaching kids to be self sufficient?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty handy.
So,
were you able to the goal? You have a $5,000 budget each year for this.
Right.
Are you able to get to that limit or how much have you been able to extend that each year?
Oh yeah. I mean, we always have more applications than what we can pay out.
Yeah.
And we do have to turn some applications down. But we do our best to fund the projects we feel like have the best chance of success. And, you know, it's really up to the partners to make the project happen, but we provide some financial resources for them to be able to make that happen.
So. In addition to financial resources, you've got the – tell me about the gun raffle, the Young Leaders Program. You've got a real active Young Leader Program out there at the Farm Bureau, don't you?
We do. You know, we're really fortunate right now. We have a great group of young guys and gals that are involved in our Young Leader Program. And, you know, we feel like this is one of the more important programs we do because we feel these are the future leaders of our county farm bureau and possibly our state farm bureau.
Right.
You know, we've had, just for instance, you know, Matt Rush from here in Fairfield, you know, he's been involved in Young Leaders for years, but, you know, he went on to serve on a state Young Leader committee for our district and actually became state Young Leader chairman.
Oh, really?
Which is a outstanding opportunity for him. And now he served out his term there. He's still on our Young Leader Committee, but now you notice he's getting more involved in other community activities.
Yeah.
He's on the bank board of Fairfield National Bank, and he's now a district director in Illinois Corn Growers Association. So, you know, we feel like our Young Leader Program, you know, takes these individuals after they get out of high school and possibly even college, and we continue that development, if you will, of
right.
their leadership skills, communication skills, networking. And continue to build up these individuals to be future leaders in agriculture. So, but we have a great group right now. And they're raising money, right. So for committee activities this year, they have a Young Leader gun raffle. They're raffling off a Colt Magpul AR rifle and valued at $1,100.
How about that?
Yeah, tickets are only $10, you too.
How many tickets are going to?
They're capping it at 300. So
okay. They
won't sell any more than 300. And they're drawing for the raffle at the annual meeting on March the 9th.
Well, now that's handy as can be.
Absolutely. And you don't have to be present to win either. So
How many folks do you have involved in the Young Leaders? And how long has the organization been going? Do you have some of the former Young Leaders on your Farm Bureau board now?
We actually have a current Young Leader on our big board, if you will, right now as well. Yeah, absolutely. And several of our current board members were involved not only at the county committee, but we have some that were involved in the state Young Leader Committee as well, are back on the County Farm Bureau board. So,
that's just the easiest way to get folks involved. And for the long, you guys, Farm Bureau's playing the long game, aren't you?
We have to. You know, we've been around for 100 years at the state level and 95 years at the county level, so we're definitely planning for the long term.
Well, that's wonderful. Doug, thanks very much for coming out today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow. Have a great day.